I and my father are one. I and my brother are one. I am the ascended Jesus Christ, speaking through you, through a person who has come into oneness with me. Yet who was it that was speaking a little while ago? It was not the ascended Jesus Christ, it was the living Christ, which is a universal presence, an extension of the universal Christ consciousness. And the universal Christ consciousness, as everything in this universe, has an alpha aspect and an omega aspect. Thus, the alpha aspect of the universal Christ consciousness is what the Bible calls the only begotten Son of God, which remains in heaven and is always one with the Father. Yet, the Son of God that descends into the material world and is the Word made flesh is the living Christ, which can manifest itself through any human being which decides to exercise his or her Christ potential and thus become the open door for that living Christ to flow, that living Word to flow into this world. And thus what you saw earlier today was an example of the living Christ expressing itself as the flame of God power. Yet there are seven rays, my beloved. So the danger of giving you an example is that you think that the living Christ always has to express itself that way. But I am telling you that is not so. For God power is the first ray. And there is God wisdom, God love, God purity, God truth, God peace, and God freedom. And so you personally may be currently be working on one of the other rays. And thus you have the potential to be the open door for the living Christ to express itself through you as the quality of that ray. And when you attain mastery of all seven rays, you can be the open door for the living Christ to express itself through you on all seven rays, as the situation requires, as what is required to give the person or the persons that you are speaking to a cup of cold water in Christ's name, so that they receive exactly what they need to be awakened and take the next step on their personal path. Thus, my beloved, I call your attention to the necessity of contemplating the concept of being right on each of the seven rays. Being right means being balanced. For as has already been said, the eightfold path of the Buddha is to be right by being on the middle way. And thus, my beloved, if you think back to the delivery earlier, you will see that there was an expression of God power. But there was not the misuse of God power that you indeed see in some Christian preachers who go on with their hellfire and brimstone preaching and therefore become unbalanced and indeed qualify power as the power of the ego. And I must tell you that it is unfortunately possible that some of these people can have a certain momentum of God power from past lives, and thus they may seem to give a very powerful speech, and indeed there may be some flow of the Holy Spirit through them, but it is perverted by their egos who are blinded by their pride or by their desire for control, so that they will not express the God power that is in alignment with the will of God, and therefore seeks to awaken people without in any way forcing or manipulating them against the law of free will. Thus, my beloved, each and every one of you, if you are willing, have the potential to become the open door. That means following the path, healing your psychology, overcoming the ego. But it also means raising up a chalice so that the living Christ can flow into a vessel and not be the pearl that is cast before the swine of the human consciousness of the world. And thus raising up a chalice means that you study a topic that is dear to your heart, and study it until you have the concepts in your mind to the point where the living Christ has something to work with and can therefore express itself through you. So what you saw earlier was that when Kim got up to give that lecture, he had no idea what was going to be said, except that it was going to be about the 3 years of my mission. Yet because he has studied and read and written about the topic of my life and knows the scriptures to some degree, he had the vessel prepared that could be the chalice for the living Christ to flow through him, even though his outer mind had no preparation. And the same can be true of each and every one of you. When you prepare yourself so that at any moment, when you encounter a situation where the living Christ desires to express itself through you, you are not taken aback and you do not fall into the trap that all of you sometimes fall into of saying, "Oh no, I couldn't be the living Christ in this situation. I am not ready. I am not worthy. I do not know enough. I am too tired. Perhaps tomorrow, but not now." And yet did I not say, you know not when the Lord of the household cometh. You know not when the living Christ needs to use you, because you are the only person who can give that cup of cold water to a particular person who is trapped in some outer situation or in the blindness of the ego, and thus needs that cold water to be splashed in their face so that they can be awakened and realize there is a better way to live. There is more to life. And so, my beloved, contemplate the concept of the bridegrooms who made themselves ready by keeping their lamps trimmed, so that when the bridegroom came, they were ready. Whereas the foolish virgins who had not trimmed their lamps first had to go out and buy oil, and thus the bridegroom had already entered the bridal chamber when they came back. My beloved hearts, I will now give you a teaching about the fourth stage of my mission and life, namely, my death on the cross and my resurrection. There are books in this world who claim that Jesus Christ did not die on the cross, that he had learned some kind of technique taught in the mystery schools of the ancient world of how to withdraw the breath from the body for a time, that it seemed like the body was dead, but it could be reawakened through specific methods. It is claimed that giving me the vinegar while I was hanging on the cross was the means to allow myself to put my body into a coma and withdraw the soul. So, my beloved, what is the reality? Well, the reality is that I had studied in the mystery schools of the ancient world. The reality is that I had indeed learned the technique of withdrawing the breath, thereby putting the consciousness into a state where it would be declared dead in any hospital in the modern world. It was indeed my plan, along with a few of my supporters, to go through the crucifixion and use this technique to give the impression of dying on the cross and then being reawakened. This was my intent, but it did not come to pass. For as I was hanging on the cross, I realized that this was not God's will. It was indeed God's will that I, Jesus Christ, went through the experience of physical death, having faith that whether I was resurrected or not would be according to God's will. And so you see, my beloved, even the consciousness of wanting to cheat death was, in a certain sense, a lack of faith on my part. Thinking that I somehow had to give God a little bit of help, and thus I had created a ghostly image of how my ascension, how my crucifixion should take place. And it was indeed that ghostly image that I have to give up while I was hanging on the cross. For I experienced that as I started going through the process of withdrawing the breath, God's presence withdrew itself from me, and thus I knew it was not the will of God to continue. And thus I cried out in affliction, not knowing what was next. And then I surrendered myself, surrendered the ghost, and let my body die. And it was indeed this act of total surrender, of being willing to die on the cross, that was the key to my resurrection. Thus, my beloved, why would I create this ghost that it was necessary for me to remain physically alive instead of leaving it up to God? Well, it was, my beloved, partly because my entire mission in Palestine was indeed very much adapted to the beliefs of the Jews. I did and said many things that were aimed at fulfilling the prophecies in the Old Testament so that the Jews might accept me as their Messiah and therefore raise their religion out of the Old Testament law and prophets that was now obsolete. Therefore, knowing how closed-minded the leaders of the Jewish religion and many of its followers were, it was necessary to do and say many things that were specifically adapted to fulfilling the prophecies given forth about the coming of the Messiah. And while in that consciousness, I built that ghost of thinking I could go through this process of being crucified without having the physical body die. And thereby my intent was to continue my mission elsewhere. So, my beloved, I tell you this that you may have an understanding of how subtle the ego can be, and how to the very end of your spiritual path and your spiritual mission on this earth, the ego can manage to trick you into creating a ghost about your mission on this earth. And I ask you to contemplate this and learn once again from my example, thus not being permanently trapped by such a ghostly image imposed by your ego or imposed by other people. For as has been discussed, the world might recognize the presence of the Christ, but the world will want to impose its dualistic images upon how the Christ expresses itself in this world. And it is very easy for all of us, when we are in a physical body, to adapt in subtle ways to the ways of the world, rather than always being completely open, giving God a clean slate on which to write. Thus I ask you to contemplate that for as long as you are in embodiment, you need to maintain some awareness of the need to give up the ghost continually. And therefore I ask you to contemplate the concept of perpetual surrender, whereby you never allow your ego to trick you into thinking that you have now passed some turning point on the path, and now you are beyond the ego on a need to surrender. My beloved, if you are always willing to surrender, and if you are always alert for what you need to surrender, you cannot be permanently trapped in the consciousness of death. For I tell you, the consciousness of life is indeed the state of perpetual surrender, and thus we who are ascended and reside in the spiritual realm are in that state of perpetual surrender. And I know that many of you, through the Christian dispensation, through previous organizations sponsored by the Ascended Host, had come to see an Ascended Master as being somehow perfect, and therefore how could that Ascended Master need to surrender anything? But you see, my beloved, an Ascended Master does not need to surrender the ego. But an Ascended Master at any given time still has a sense of identity. And yet in order to maintain its place in the river of life, even an Ascended Master has to, with certain intervals, surrender its current sense of identity and accept a greater sense of identity, thus becoming more in the process. This process will not end until you have manifested the full God consciousness exemplified by your Creator. And my beloved, even then it will not end, as we will surely describe in the book by Maitreya that will be forthcoming in due time. So my beloved, ponder these concepts and ponder the concepts of the community of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. For you truly have the greatest opportunity to manifest that community given the teachings you have on overcoming the ego and on being, and giving the tools you have in the rosaries, and giving the love you have in your hearts. Thus I ask you to contemplate that the first book I brought forth through this new dispensation was The Christ is Born in You, because that is what the world needs to overcome the idolatry of Christianity and have the concept that the Christ could possibly be born in every human being. But I tell you, many of you who have followed the path for many years and who have diligently followed the teachings and used the tools have gone beyond the point of the Christ being born in you. And now you come to the point where you need to pass through the initiation that I passed through on the cross, of letting that ghost, that final ghost of the ego, die, and therefore allowing the Christ to rise. And thus the Christ is not only born in you, the Christ is risen in you. And so I ask you to contemplate this and even create a little custom amongst yourselves. For the first followers of the way of Christ, when they greeted each other, affirmed what was for them the miracle of the Christian dispensation, namely, that I had risen from the dead. For my beloved, think again on Orthodox Christianity that focuses so much attention on my crucifixion and my death on the cross and the spilling of my blood that supposedly washed away humankind's sins, that they forget that there was nothing special about being crucified 2,000 years ago. In fact, any thief or criminal could be crucified. But how many of them were resurrected afterwards? And so indeed, what was special about my life was not that I died on the cross, but that I rose from the dead and became the risen Christ. And so when my early followers met each other, one person would say with joy and elation, "Christ is risen." And the other person would answer back with the Omega return, "He is risen." And thus I ask you to take this to a higher level, so that one person says, "Christ is risen in you." And the other person says, "He is risen," affirming that the Christ is risen in you. And you can play with this greeting, add on to it in your own creativity, affirming that Christ is risen in both of you. And thus I leave you to contemplate the need to claim your right to have Christ rise in your being while you are still in a physical body, to claim your God power, to claim your right to manifest your individual Christhood, and to manifest the community of the Holy Spirit. For I tell you, for many of you, the only thing that stands between your current step on the path and the victory of being the open door for the living Christ is that you must claim your Christhood, claim your God power, your God wisdom, your God love, your God purity, your God truth, your God peace, and your God freedom. And claiming your right to be the Christ on all seven rays. So contemplate this in your hearts of hearts when you are alone, and be willing to claim that Christhood. And thus I invite you to stand now with me here and claim your Christhood silently or aloud. In the name of the I Am That I Am, Jesus Christ, I claim my right to be the Christ in embodiment and be the Christ on all seven rays. My beloved hearts, thank you for your willingness to claim that Christhood, even if you did it tentatively. For my beloved, practice makes perfect, and it might take some reaffirming before you feel that you can claim it with all of your beings. Yet if you never start, if you never dare to claim that Christhood, how can you build that momentum that leads to the full declaration and a full acceptance? Thus I seal you in my heart's unconditional love for each and every one of you. My beloved, be at peace in the love of Christ. It is finished.